This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Good morning. I'd like to say to our radio audience that this is Raymond Charles Barker speaking to you from Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. The reason for that applause is a happy one. On stage with me is Dr. Robert H. Bitzer, the minister of the Hollywood, California Church of Religious Science and the president of Religious Science International around the world. That's him. We believe in one mind. And you old-timers know this because every Sunday morning I say it over again. We believe that the universe is a mental system, that it is the operation of mind, and that man is the awareness of that mind. You and I are that mind. We individualize it, we have it, we rejoice in it, and it is good. So over again, that theme, I am in a unity of purpose. I am in that which can never be divided among itself. I am in that in which there is never an argument. There is only a peace, a beauty, a wholesomeness, a joy, and a delight. Now, let us relax because we're going to have our morning treatment. And I'm going to give it to you in the first, my version, so that as you hear it, it becomes your word unto yourself. All right? We'll be still. There is one mind, all wisdom, all intelligence, all power, all life, all good, all prosperity. I am in this. It created me. It is in action through me. I give it direction. Therefore, every area of my life increases in goodness. Expands in love and brings forth greater beauty. My subconscious mind accepts this treatment. All right, so it is. Now we're going to turn to the third page inside of the program where we have our song. It's a grand one. And you will all know the tune. We're going to sing it with authority. I want to read the first verse for our radio audience. In mind is our trust, in truth our delight, in love and in joy. We have faith in the right. Within us there reigns now a mind for our own, a wisdom eternal where every truth is known. All right, shall we stand and sing with power? Thank you. I hardly need to introduce our speaker because you gave him a grand ovation when he came out, because you people have always loved him. He's going to talk on metaphysical security. And listen, because he's good. I'll be back.
Thank you, Dr. Barker, and friends. It's always wonderful to be in New York again. Of course, Los Angeles has everything that New York has, except New York. But I always like to come back to New York because this was the place of my spiritual birth. For a number of years ago, I heard a New Thought minister here say, God is love. I'd said it 1,000 times in Sunday school, and of course it had it on mottos and cards. But it so happened, when this man said it, hatred was dissolved, and prejudice seemed to completely disappear. So I recognized that this man had something that I'd never heard before. And of course, it was the power of your belief. Now, metaphysical security is based upon your belief. Your belief doesn't create the security. Let's keep that always in mind. Principles have always existed. We do not create principles, but we can adjust ourselves or relate ourselves to the principle and then find that the principle works for us. Of course, it had been working all the time. Or if we don't relate to the principle, we seem to spend our time trying to find it or find out what is wrong. So we say there is a principle of security. There's a principle of supply. There's a principle of prosperous being. And if you and I would once learn to stop spending all of our energy trying to make money and to realize there is a principle of prosperous being and that all we have to do is to relate to it, then the money will flow into manifestation as a part of our experience. A wise man years ago said, it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, people didn't accept that because people didn't like to be preached at in those days any more than they do now. About 100 years ago, there was a man down in Maine, and he commenced to analyze this thought. Why is it done unto us according to our belief? And so he said that everything that happens to you is your belief in action. Then later, a man, Dr. Ernest Holmes, came along, and he said the thing that makes you sick is the thing that makes you well. And he went furthermore into the subject of our belief. And so this morning, we make the statement that your experiences are the product of your belief. Your experiences are your belief in form. Now, if you tell a person that who doesn't understand that we're dealing with science of mind, you say, you mean to say it's all in my mind? Well, sometimes I'll say yes. And other times I would say, yes, but that is an oversimplification. Because when we say it's all in your mind, what we're trying to do is to make you see that your thinking is the key to your experiences. And therefore, within your mind is your success, or within your mind is your failure. But there again, we need to be a little clearer. What do we mean by that? And so we come back to our old basis, that it is our belief. It is our belief about ourselves, our belief about what is going to happen to us. Now, if I tell you that your physical body is to some extent the product of the dinner you had last night and the breakfast you had this morning or the meals you've been eating for the past week, you wouldn't think there's anything strange about it. You say, well, of course I know that. All right, but you don't know how the food that you ate has been transferred into fingernails and blood and bone fiber, but you know that that is what has taken place. If I tell you that what you plant, you're going to reap, you say, yes, I understand that. All right, now then, what you believe, that you are going to be. Now remember my opening statement that we're not going to change that which is false or create that. We're not going to create a principle. But here's a principle of supply in the universe. Here's a principle of prosperous being. It's a principle, it's a divine principle. There is a supply in the world. Now, we're not going to create that supply, but our belief is going to relate us to it. And the reason that our belief relates us to it is that our belief itself is the creative action. And what you believe, your belief is creating in you all of the ways and means necessary to bring through the demonstration of your belief. Belief isn't just a statement that you make in your mind, like you'd make an affirmation or denial. A belief is a creative act of mind. And your belief is the creative action of your mind. And when I ask you, what do you believe about a certain subject? And you say, well, nothing, all right? Then nothing is happening. There's no creative action in your mind. If I say, what do you believe about money? Then you can say, all right, I believe that money is mine, is available for me, follows the pattern of my thought, and objectifies in my experience. Now you've given a creative action to your belief, and your belief right away is coming into form, and it is doing something, it's causing something. When the lights go on in this auditorium, where does the darkness go? We don't care. But what we do know that all we have to do is to turn on the light, and we have the light. When we say, when you demonstrate prosperity, where does poverty go? Same place the darkness goes. Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you, because he had insight enough to realize there are always people that don't want to progress. And there are always people that want to preserve the status quo, and they are the poor. It has nothing to do with money at all, because the poverty that Jesus referred to is a state of mind that when we are afraid to get new ideas and hang on to the old ideas, then that's poverty consciousness. And so we have to learn to let go those old ideas to bring through new concepts, new ideas of what we can be and what we can do. Certainly there's a principle, there's a principle of life, there's a principle of health, there's a principle of love, there's a principle, yes, of joy, and there's a principle of supply. We don't create any of these, but we have to relate through our belief. And our belief becomes our creative action of accepting those principles. Your belief creates for you your acceptance. I don't know why it is that we have to learn to create a receptivity in our mind or to create an acceptance, but we do. And each day we should include in our thought that we are right now creating a receptive attitude, a receptive consciousness. I suppose it should not be difficult to recognize when we see that the farmer must plow his field before he can do any planting. And if he did his planting without the field being plowed, his results would certainly be minimal. And that's why so many people's results in science of mind might be minimal if they don't understand. They create the receptivity. And the receptivity is something that their belief does, and is the action of the creative belief on your own consciousness that creates in you that which is essential for you to express. Now, we can make ourselves believe almost anything that we want to believe. The basis of propaganda is in the control of the mass mind in terms of belief. We've discovered, of course, we've always known that there will always be people that will not respond to the mass mind. And when a person understands science of mind, he does not respond to mass thinking anymore. He becomes an individual. And all of this infinite good that he mentions for everybody else, he recognizes he must affirm it for himself. It's his own experience, and he brings it into his consciousness as a part of his unfoldment. As an infinite principle, and therefore we bring that principle into the manifestation at all times. Now we say our treatment together in a meeting like this, that is not mass action. That is individual participation through the law of belief in a principle of omnipresent mind. And when we must always keep in our own consciousness that there is just one mind, and that's the mind of the universe. Now that mind is complete, and that mind is perfect, and that mind is all-knowing. Then our relationship to that principle must be that we believe the all-knowingness of the one mind, the all-knowingness of the one mind is the mind operating in us, manifesting through us, therefore we can act with a sense of certainty and a sense of assurance. Security is the recognition that our belief can always direct itself in the way in which we want our belief to go. We are one with this principle, but our belief gives us a security because we know we'll always have the idea that we need. Now, there's no security in life based on anything other than mind. You cannot base security on material conditions. You can't say your job is your security or the money in your bank is your security. You have to come back to the realization that your security is in your consciousness, in your attitude of mind, in your realization of who you are. I had a student in our church in Hollywood, and I don't know exactly what his financial worth was. I would say between $15 and $20 million. And when he commenced to attend our church, up to that time, and he was a man in the middle 50s, he had never in his life bought a new car. Always he would buy a used car. Now he generally had Cadillacs, but he had never in his life bought a new car. His clothes, he went down to the wholesalers there in the garment district, and he'd buy his suits off the rack. And his whole life was based in that kind of a concept. He was poor because he didn't understand there was a principle of infinite being, of infinite supply, which would never run out. Well, you know, pretty soon, he bought himself a new Cadillac, and he bought his wife a new Cadillac, and then he commenced to go to one of the best tailors in town, because he commenced to get the concept. This $15 million that he had and the vast property holding was not his security. He commenced to realize that his security was in the belief that he maintained with the principal. And as long as his belief was maintained with the principal, then there'd be a constant flow of supply into his life and into his expression. If he broke off that belief with the principal, well, then, of course, it'd be a different story. And this is the great message that we've got to get over to the world today. I don't know, it seems to me that by now people should know that security is not based on money. Money itself can go up or down, depends upon which country you're in and what the market seems to be. That security has to be based upon a spiritual quality because our universe is mind. Our universe is mind. Therefore, our approach to our universe is through mind. And therefore, our belief is our mental acceptance of mind doing something specific for us. Now, I know Dr. Barker and Dr. Grayson and Dr. Pace and all of your faculty point out over and over again that when you give a treatment, before you give the treatment, you know something is going to happen. And when you give a treatment, you're not just mouthing words to make yourself feel better or hoping that something would happen, but when you give a treatment, you're using this creative law that causes something to happen. Isn't that the wonderful thing? Your belief can cause your world to assume the form of your desire. Your belief can cause your world to assume the prosperous being of the infinite mind. Something happens in your treatment, and you are that which makes it happen because you're choosing that which you want that belief to focus on. And in the focusing of the belief, you'll find that everything opens up in the right way. Now, we cannot demonstrate without our belief. Our belief is ours, is essential, because the belief is the creative action of our acceptance. I cannot repeat that too often, and you cannot emphasize it too much in your thinking. If you just over and over realize your belief is the creative action of the acceptance of your good, and there's no limit to what you can accept, it's up to you. How much do you want to include? How expansive do you want to be in your thinking? How wide do you want to open the channels of your thought for your expression? Now, our belief should not be just confined to any one aspect. And our belief in security is not just our thought about money, about prosperous being, about abundance. Because it may be that the greatest security in your mind is to realize the rightness of your place. One of the greatest threats we have is the feeling that life might pass us by, or that we might not last as long as life. And so there again, we come into the thought of age and the thought of displacement or replacement. And I think we've got to come back and establish the belief, I will always be in my right place doing the thing that is right for me to do, appreciated by myself, appreciated by life, fulfilling the opportunities that belong to me. Now, those are the beliefs that we establish, and those are the things that we're seeking to bring out in our mind. Now, if we've increased the average span of life, and that is constantly increasing, because, And this we must always remember, because man's mind has expanded. People think of the wonderful exploration of space. And it is wonderful too. Why is it wonderful? Because man's mind conceived it. And man's belief created the activity within him that made it possible for him to get to the moon or get to any other place that he wanted to get. So that it is man's belief that created all of these wonderful things. And when we look in great awe at all this taking place, remember, man's mind did it. And your mind and my mind is a part of that mind that did that. Do you realize that your mind and my mind is a part of the action of the one mind that put men on the moon and commenced to orbit the earth? Expand your thought. Stop thinking in terms of little finite me sitting back and watching all the wonders that are taking place and feeling so helpless to do anything. You and I are part of all the changes that are taking place in the world today. We may not know that we are consciously part of it, but we are. And then as we establish in our own belief that we refuse to be a part of any of the wrong action in the world, we are part of the protection of the world, of the safety of the world. We are part of the understandings of the races. We are part of the getting together of fellow men, of humanity expanding and evolving. We are part of every progressive legislation that's ever taken place in every country in the world. Expand your thought. Realize how much you are a part of this infinite creative intelligence. And immediately you commence to think that way. You realize that when you're asking for something for yourself, you're simply affirming that that is a principle that all people can use and all people can employ. But it's your expansion, your recognition of it, that makes you a part of its unfoldment and a part of its infinite capacity to be. It's wonderful to see people around you making demonstration. But you know, if you can see a person making a demonstration, you are a part of his demonstration. I know you're going to say, now what kind of crazy talk is that? How am I a part of somebody else's demonstration? Well, if you see it, what do you see? Don't you see a progress that's been made? And aren't you seeing not so much the individual as you are a principle that is expanded through and brought through a new concept of life? When you see people so hidebound in their beliefs, and so narrowed down with the things they can do and can't do. And then all of a sudden, when you see them get into a new awareness of life and those old beliefs disappear, then you're witnessing the principle. And whatever anybody can demonstrate of good, you can demonstrate. That's where your belief must come in. Your belief relates itself to the principle everywhere, no matter what it is that you're seeing. I remember as a child, it used to always be if anybody died in town, well, the obituary always included what they died of. And, of course, the more harrowing the symptoms, the better the circulation of the paper. And everybody, they went on that. And even today, you tell a friend, so-and-so just passed on, oh, what was the matter? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? All right. When I would read that Mr. So-and-so died of such and such a thing, I'd say, oh, Lord, never let me get that disease. Or if Mrs. Somebody else's appendix exploded, I'd say, oh, Lord, never let my appendix explode. Now, I was doing, as a child, in reverse, what I am urging you to do now in a positive action. Now, it was constructive, of course. I refused to identify myself with the symptoms of sickness and the symptoms of disease. Now, I'm urging that when we see a person make a demonstration, let's recognize it, give them credit, rejoice in it. But the reason that they made that demonstration is because the same principle is at work in me. Then we are constantly identifying with the principle. And it doesn't make any difference what the provocation is or what's taking place around us. We always come back to identify with the principle and make it a part of our manifestation. Perhaps this is why Jesus said, you're held accountable for every idle word, because it's the reactions that we have in life. You know, somebody says, you know, I had a pain in my, he had a pain in his jaw right here. And I said, oh, you've got a pain in your jaw right there? Oh, no. Then why are you going through all that graphic description? And when we identify ourselves with symptoms by using our hands, our physical designation, then we need to change all that about. Come back to the consciousness of the divine. Think about the person that succeed. Think about the person that demonstrate. If we make failures, so what? Get rid of them. Don't talk about it. But every time you've made a wonderful demonstration, think of it in your mind and recognize that that is the principle at work in you. And that being the principle at work in you, that principle is going to continue to work in you. There's no limit to what it can do. You're going to extend it to every area of your life. Now, this is the thing that we need to learn, to expand our thought about ourselves. Expand our thought about yourself. Get back into the divine being. You are a divine being. Who told you you couldn't do what you wanted to do? It's a false concept. Who made the statement that we can't do everything that we want in life? Let's get rid of those concepts. I believe we can do what we want to do. But I think there are lots of things we'll talk about wanting to do, but we don't want to do them. What we want to do, we're going to do. You are constructive by nature. That you must realize. And the good in you is greater than any tendency to gossip. The good in you is larger than any belief in sickness, because the inevitable pattern of the you is that infinite mind in you is finding its infinite capacity to be. And in knowing that you are infinite mind now, you establish that. You didn't make yourself divine. You were made divine. You didn't endow yourself with the creativity of your thought. You were born that way. It was built into you. You can't stop it. It's a part of what you are. Then our challenge is, let's use it. And let's direct our belief as we want our belief to unfold. And let's focus our belief in the direction that we want our belief to objectify. And so from every minute, let's just know what we believe is the truth now manifested in our experience, because all of good, all of God, all of love, all of mind, all of that, we're right now part of. And therefore, our belief brings forth our full and our complete acceptance. And so in this consciousness of the belief, the old limitation is completely gone. It has no place in our life, and we are part of the infinite mind, knowing its infinite capacity to be. The man who appealed to Jesus, when Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yea, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Your belief is a creative process that continues and continues and continues. And the slightest belief, when you recognize that its nature is to create, it will expand and expand and expand and expand. For our belief reaches its epitome when the full consciousness of truth of being is expressed as that which we are. And so we stand up in joy and love and know that all that the Father hath is ours now.
Well, Dr. Bitzer, they loved you. Our guest clergy, we do not allow to ask for money, so I'm here. We'll now take up the morning collection. I'll be back. Dr. Bitzer, on behalf of this church, the Board of Trustees, I present to you the Reverend Stuart Grayson for the presentation of a Doctor of Religious Science certificate.
Thank you, Dr. Barker. It is with great pleasure that on behalf of Religious Science International, we are awarding this degree of distinction to the Reverend Stuart Grayson. As you know, he has served faithfully in this church as associate minister. He has taught all of the various classes. He's been a practitioner. He's been giving seminars around the world so that more and more his own individual ministry has been expanding. And so the Religious Science International feels that for meritorious expression and for a great expanding ministry, it is very happy to present him with a Doctor of Religious Science.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bitzer. As a student of mine wrote, said, what a wonderful way to wind up the old year and ring in the new. And it really is. I can only say that what I have here really represents part of what all of you are and what you have given to me. Because whatever I have done has been because of your support, because of the love, the affection, the moral, the spiritual support that you've given me. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. I would just like to say that this moment would never be right if I didn't thank our very dear friend, our minister, senior minister here, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker. Because through thick and thin, as it were, he has supported me and provided avenues for my greater self-expression. And so I promise I will continue, I will go on, and who knows what the next great thing may be. Thank you very much.
Wasn't that a nice coronation? Yeah. Yeah. Now, a few announcements. Dr. Bitzer has four books out there, booklets. The most prominent are The Dominant Mind and Your Mental Computer. There's two others out there too, Creative Word and You Should Be Comforted. Get them. He's out there with a pen in his hand, hoping. Anyway, they're good things. That's good material. And they're out there for you. I'd like to say that we're having our harvest luncheon immediately after the service this morning at the Essex House. And I'm sorry to say that it's completely sold out, so any of you that don't have tickets, you waste your time if you go over there to try and get in. It's completely sold out. So that's that. All right, the regular activities of the week. Your Wednesday night speaker will be Eric Pace. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Mr. Hermans. The regular noon speakers every day Stuart on Tuesday and Thursday, I'm on Wednesday, and the usual classes and all the rest. In planning ahead on your Christmas list, think of our books. They make wonderful gifts, and it spreads the good tidings of religious science, the science of mind. I will say for our radio audience that if you write us, write to Dr. Barker, or now to Dr. Grayson. Well, you better do it to me. I'll tell you why. He comes in quite late, and we like to get the mail done first. At any rate, Dr. Barker and our address for our radio audience is 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, and the zip 10017. So remember that. Now, we've had a good morning. By the way, the magazines are outside, and this time we have plenty of them. There are two little tools that we have, the Creative Thought magazine, for which Dr. Bitzer and I write, and I hound Dr. Grayson to write for it. Someday I'm going to get an article. So you encourage him to write for it, too. And the Science of Mind magazine, they're two great ones. And they're outside, as always. All right, let's come back to a theme. There is one God, one Spirit, one life. You and I are its living embodiment. It created us out of itself. We arrive here with purpose, and we are divinely assisted by all the ideas that flow through our consciousness. So again, I am saying this week will be a good one, for we have had this intake of positiveness, creativeness, life. It'll be good. All right, let us stand for our closing idea. That there is that peace which is beyond all understanding. And that peace is our peace now. It is creative, dynamic, it is beautiful. And we are the beautiful people, born of the Spirit, existing in the wisdom of the living God. Right? So it is, and thank you for coming.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.